Thank you, Leslie. Hallelujah indeed is that word. While home for Thanksgiving, my closest friend from our graduating class, Rex Creswell, came over to visit with me. Rex handed me a package and said, "I bought one for you." He handed me that. I opened it, and it was the new biography written of the winningest coach in athletic history, John Wooden, from the University of California, Los Angeles. And he and I have, for a long time, admired Coach Wooden, talked about him, he being a deacon in his local church. And he said, "Just wanted you to have a copy. Thought you would like that, my gift to you." It's John Wooden that said, "The most important key to achieving great success is to decide upon your goal, launch, get started, take action, and move." Look at those words. Find a goal, launch, I would say in relaunch, get started, take action, move. And Coach Wooden would say, do it now. Now. That word "now" is used 270 times in Scripture when it speaks about the chronological order. It speaks of now almost 1,000 times used from Genesis to Revelation, but when it speaks of time, and to do it in the immediate, 270 times we find that word "now." As we begin this new year, I want to talk to you about some things we need to do, and we need to do now. Not next week, not next year. Some things we need to do now. Today, take action. You need to decide these things before you leave this room today. Now. 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 Take your Bible and go to Psalm 118 and verse 24. And then put a finger over in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. I want to help us begin the year, set a chart, set a course, find a goal, launch, get started, take action, and move towards some things you need to do. Psalm 118 and verse 24, the Bible says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And then 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, right now. I don't make resolutions anymore. I don't even know what that means. Man, if I wait till now and think about it, you've got to have an ongoing pressing issue, being in the now always. As Kevin Elko says, you got to be where your feet are. The only place you can be. I can't be tomorrow. I can't be yesterday. I just got to be where my feet are. My feet are here. They're at Olive. I've got to be here, and that's where I've got to live, and I have to live in the now, and I have to live in the now always. It's the only place I can live. And so what is it I should do now? Well, I want you to look at some things today, some truths, some actions that I want to encourage you to take now. Some of you have taken some of these, some of you have not, and we need to decide today. So let's look at three actions that need to be up to date this very morning. Number one, receive Christ now. receive him now. If you've never received Christ, you should receive him today. The Bible in Psalm 39 and verse number 7 says, "And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." Now, what should you? You shouldn't wait for anything, because your hope is in Christ. We saw it right here in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now is the time. I've been praying about this morning, and I believe God's put this in my heart. Because someone sits in this room or listens by internet, that you're hearing the gospel for the last time you will hear it. And you need to say yes today. Today, Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross for you. The gospel is that you're a sinner. You cannot go to heaven without knowing Christ. Jesus came and took your sin and made a substitutionary atonement for it. God raised him from the dead, and he lives now, and he calls you and he woos you, and he says, "Come today and follow me." And for some of you, someone in this room or someone listening on the internet today is your day. Now is the accepted time. You should accept Christ. Don't wait till tomorrow. I don't know how many people I've talked to in the year 2014. "You know, Pastor, I know I ought to, and one day I'm going to." Dear friend, if one day you're going to, oftentimes you never get around to it. You should receive Christ now. Now. Dr. Charles Carter is my good friend who pastored the Shades Mountain Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama for years. Well, over 25 years he was there. This morning he's preaching at the First Baptist Church of Pelham in Birmingham area, where he's the interim pastor as they look for someone to follow my good friend Mike Shaw. For years, Dr. Carter has told the story about the Sunday at Shades, how they know their church, not Shades Mountain Baptist, but just Shades, just like you don't know Olive Baptist Church, except we just call it Olive. Well, what he did at Shades that morning, he preached the gospel, and he said a teenage boy left the building and went out and got in his car and going down the mountain from Shades. Truck pulled out and hit him. He stepped into eternity after he'd left church just a few. Dr. Carter said, "I went back and so introspectfully looked at my sermon that day. Did I make the gospel clear? Did I call that boy to repentance then? Did I give him everything I had? Because it was the last time he heard the gospel." Friend, let me be clear. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's not the best way, but the only way. And he will receive you. I care not what you've done. I'm telling you, he loves you and he'll save you. The Bible says if you call in his name, you can be saved today. And you should receive Christ now. Now, let's just find out who's saved in this room today. Let's just get down to business, all right? If you got saved and you had a day like that before you were 10, as you were 9 years of age or younger, I want you to stand with me, would you? If you got saved before you was 9 years old, I want you to stand, all right? Nine. A lot of people got saved. Okay, you remain standing, all right? If you got saved when you were 10, 11, or 12, you join us on your feet. 10, 11, and 12. Wow. Reckon anybody ought to be working down in the children's building? Did you see that? Wow. If you got saved when you was 13, 14, or 15, you join us on your feet. Now, if you got saved at 16, 17, 18, 19 as a teenager, now I want to make this point here before I ask others. Dear friends, we must engage the young generation in this city. I mean, just look around you. That's when the fruit is held. Amen? That's when we win people. It's in the children's ministry, it's in the middle school ministry, it's in the high school ministry. That's when the great majority of people come to faith in Christ, if they're going to come at all. Every one of you said, I had a point, and now. Amen. Okay, thank you. You be seated. If you got saved in your 20s, I want you to stand. How many of you got saved in your 20s? Amen. How many of you 30s? Join us on your feet. How many of you got saved in your 30s? Amen. In your 40s, 50 or more. Now look around. There's a ministry to do, but the great numbers tell us we've got to reach that coming generation. But it means we cannot give up on an older generation, of the adult generation. And we must be pressing the gospel. Thank you. You can be seated. And I want to say to you, if you've not stood today, when I give the call for the invitation, I want you to come stand right here with me this morning. I want you to get up out of your seat in that balcony, in these wings. Across. I want you to come. You should receive Christ now. You never know when the last gospel invitation you receive will come. This may be that day. We should receive Christ now. Now is the time. This is the day. First of all, receive Christ now. But there's a second now I want you to see, and that is that we should share Christ now. We should be laborers going into the harvest. How many of you got a True Life card on you this morning? Got a True Life card? If you don't have a True Life card, you need to get these, put them in your pocket. You need to have them in your, I've got them in the glove box of my car. I've got them in my pocket. Staff's always got, these are great little witnessing tools. All right, we've been giving these to you, so you need, say, preacher, never heard of it. Stop out there at the welcome desk. They're not loaded up, they're getting loaded up right now, all right? So I guarantee you somebody's running and finding some, but they're out there. You get a True Life card. It gives great answers on a truelife.org website. On the other side's information about the church. You need to share Christ. Now, I want you to look back. Now, just think, here we are, the first Sunday in the year. Go back 365 days. I want to ask you this question. You stood up a while ago and said you're saved. And I want to ask you, have you told one single solitary person the gospel in the year 2014? If you tried to influence anyone with the gospel last year? Well, dear friend, if the answer is no, I ask you in Jesus' name, please don't let another year go by like that. You're here for a reason. You're here to be a witness. You're to be a laborer in the vineyard. Now, don't tell me you don't know anybody lost. We all know somebody lost that we can pray for and influence and encourage. The Three Circles app on your phone, I gave you this a few weeks ago. You can put that on your phone. It has the gospel. It's just great with young people. They love to look at these little devices and get on the screen. You can walk right through that with the Three Circles app. We'll give you that, tell you right where it is at a later date. But so many of you have it already on your phone, but you've got to use it. Here's what you need to do. You need to pray. You need to pray, God, show me someone lost. And put my heart with it. Secondly, then ask God to give you a burden for lost people. Ask God to make your heart so heavy. Thirdly, make a list. Make a list. I pray for missionaries on Sunday, church tasks on Tuesday, workers in the church on Wednesday, my personal tasks on Thursday. I pray for my family on Friday. I pray for saints on Saturday. I pray for sinners on Sunday. List of lost people. For weeks and weeks and weeks, I had a lost gentleman sit right there in that second row of that wing. I pressed and pressed and pressed the gospel. He now goes to church somewhere else. Still doesn't know the Lord. But I keep pressing. It's easier now. I can't run him off. I've already done it. No, I didn't. He's just got a connection with some other folks. Dear, dear, good man, friend, just needs to profess his faith in Christ. And I keep his name written there on my list. Lord, help the guy's going to preach to him today. Make it plain. God, draw him. If you look up one Sunday and I'm supposed to be here and I'm not here, I may be down the road at another church going to see him get baptized. Make a list. If you got the name of one lost person written down anywhere that you're praying over, you should share Christ now. Dear friend, we're not going to live forever. I wrote down some stats just for this service. I may or may not use these in second church. If you are 65 years of age and older and you are a female, the actuary tables say that you will live on an average to be 85.5 years of age. Some of you are living on borrowed time. If you're a man and you've reached 65, the actuary table says that you will live to be 82.9 years of age. I gave my dad this statistic yesterday. I said, how you feeling? He's 89 years old. We chatted a little while. I said, preacher, why you give us that number? Here's why. All those people that stood up, we got to reach young people. Let me tell you, seniors need the gospel too. Just because you're old doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you're a great-grandparent doesn't mean you're saved. You got to repent of your sin, come to faith in Christ. And some of you ought to do that now. And we must never forget to share the gospel with the elderly as well as the young. We are living longer and longer. And we need to press the gospel to every generation. And you need to be one in the harvest, a laborer. Receive Christ now. Share Christ now. But the third now this morning that I share with you is that you live Christ now. Amen. We need to live Christ now. There are five areas I want to challenge you about living Christ. Number one, in your families, live Christ now. In your family. This last year at Olive Baptist Church, in 2014, we had out of our membership 54 people die. 54 members died. That's one every week. We've got a funeral Thursday. Brother Wayne, you sit right down here. In our church last year, 67 people in our church buried a parent. That happens over and over and over. Frank Lay, who was our deacon chairman last year, I fellowshiped with him a few days ago, and he said, Pastor, the most shocking thing to me as the deacon chairman was this. I was placed on the email alert list for every time someone died. He said, I am shocked at the death our church deals with. Now, these are just members. I'm not talking about, we have daily multiples of church members who lose loved ones that are not members of our church. 54 members died. 67 members buried a mom or a daddy. And 15 of our members buried a child last year. Whether that be a one-year-old or in their 40s or 50s. Friend, I can't encourage you enough to live Christ in your family. That you love your family. that you reach out, because you don't know when you're going to be on this list next year. Make that up to date with your family, your boys, your girls, your parents. Live Christ. Be Christ to them. Tagging right on that, secondly, live Christ not only in your family, but in your relationships, and that comes right behind this. And in your relationships, you need to mend those that are broken. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. If you've got a broken relationship, mend it now. Live Christ now. 1997, Lady Diana died. She's a princess in England. It's amazing how we watched her grow up. The royal wedding, way into the night. My wife made me stay up and watch. They married just after we did. Their children born when ours were born. But in 1997, she died in a car wreck, and history records that for the last 4 months of her life, every letter her mother wrote her, she returned to her mother unopened. There was a rift between the princess and her mother, and she returned all the mail having not read it, and then went out into the night and died. Dear friend, don't dare do that. Mend that relationship. Brett Favre, Mississippi, Southern Miss quarterback, Green Bay Packers. Wrangler jeans. Man, if you love tough football players, you have to like Brett Favre. Brett Favre said, "My daddy never told me I love you." And he said, "We children never ever said it to him." Dear friend, if you're that tough, you're too tough. Every boy needs to hear from his daddy, "I love you." And every daddy needs to hear from his son, "I love you." Mend those relationships and mend them now. You say, "Pastor, they won't hear me. They won't listen to me." I understand. It's a two-way street. Just make sure the traffic's running on your end. Don't you be the one setting up the roadblocks. Don't you be the one saying, "You can't come to my house and we don't have anything to do with you." I know you have to build boundaries when there are tough issues with people, but you've always got to have an open hand, because it's what the Lord Jesus would do. How'd he deal with his enemies? He loved his enemies. They struck him on the side of the face, he turned his cheek. And I know in those tough scenarios, boundaries are very important. But don't build a wall so high you can't get over it. Live Christ now. Spouses, you ever have a falling out? Well, the divorce rate's way down. Amen. Reason for that is because living together's way up. Not as many people getting married. That's why there's not a lot of people getting divorced. Now, we've swallowed a lie to believe that half the marriages in the church are ending in divorce. It's not true. Not happening. But one's too many. And even when divorce comes, if we're a Christ follower, we need to be civil for the children's sake, if nothing else. Amen? I mean, it's Jesus who he'd want us to be. Don't let those relationships break. Live Christ and live it now. Some of you need to make some decisions about that before you leave this room today. Family, relationship. Thirdly, is in your resources. You need to live Christ now with your money. You need to decide to be a tither. You decide to be a giver. You need to decide not only to support the church, you need to support the works around you. You need to encourage people. You need to be generous. Well, don't let worry run you in the ground. We're so wrought with worry and get frozen and paralyzed. Find gratitude within your heart and let thankfulness roll out of you. And live Christ now. For the Lord loves and enjoys and desires for all of us to be cheerful givers. Use your resources for the kingdom. Number four is in your character. You need to live Christ now in your life. You need to reform your character. Your language, reform it. Your meanness, your gossip, your use of pornography. Change your character. Needs to be a reformation within you. Need to repent of your sin. You need to repent now. You need to think about it. If you got sin in your life, you ought to repent now. Today's the day. Not later. Now. You need to come fall on this altar and say, "Oh God, forgive me." Now, I want to share this with you, and this may sound self-serving. If it is, forgive me. But I challenged the church on New Year's Eve, and I give it to all of us today that are here. I'm asking you to become prayer warriors, and one of the ways I want you to pray is that you would take the 25th day of every month, 25th of January, 25th of February, 25th of March, every month, whatever the 25th falls on. Sometimes that's a Sunday, sometimes a Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. And I want you to think about making that a day of prayer, a different day of prayer. Maybe a day you pray all night. Maybe a day you fast all day, or fast one meal if you can. And that you seek after God on the 25th. Now, this is the reason this will sound self-serving, but I'm trying to lead our church to something we're going to do in October, November. In the first Sunday of November, I'll be here 25 years, and so we're putting emphasis on that 25th anniversary celebration. It's not just my anniversary. It's the 20th anniversary of this building, the 15th anniversary of the children's building, and it will be close to the first anniversary of the new building that we're about to put out here. And we're going to have a church-wide celebration in October as we celebrate evangelism, disciple-making, compassion ministries, and world evangelization and missions. And then we'll have that day on the first Sunday of November, and we'll celebrate the 25th anniversary of the pastor if he lives that long. But on the 25th leading up to that, I want to ask you to pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to come in your life. You ever prayed all night? Now, if you've never prayed all night, don't try that on January 25. Just take 2 hours. Get some friends together, two or three, take the book of Psalms and begin to read through the Psalms and just pray for 2 hours. I challenge you to do it. February 25, take lunch. Take the book of Proverbs and just begin to read. For 45 minutes, you don't eat that day, and you eat the Word of God rather than eating whatever it is you would have for lunch that day. And you pray and read the Word and fast and cry out to God. You may try that all day. Some of you may fast for 25 days. I just challenge you, take the 25s of the year and seek God. Let Him show you. Some of you don't need to fast food, you need to fast the internet. They need to take this and turn it off for a whole day. There are people in this church that could more do that without the power of God. They couldn't put this down. There are people in this room that leave this on at night. When it buzzes, it wakes them up. You are a nut. I mean, unless you're on call for some kind of emergency or whatever, but I mean, if you're just getting texts and emails in the middle of the night, no wonder you can't stay awake in church. Well, I call these teenagers screenagers. That's what they are. live by screen after screen after screen. Man, I plug my phone in my outer office and leave it out there at night. I got a home phone. My mama needs me, she can get me. My wife needs me, she's with me. Some of us ought to fast technology just for an hour and get in a quiet place with Holy God. Amen. You ought to just try a morning that you get up and spend 2 hours before you turn on the television or check your email or do anything with a screen. Just take an old leather-bound book. Try it. It'll wash your soul. It'll cleanse you. It'll help you walk with God. Your character. And then number last, not only we need to live Christ in our family, our relationship, our resource, and our character, we need to live Christ in our church. In our church. God's made the church, and he calls us now to be a part. Some of you have never joined this church, and you ought to join it today. When I travel, I sometimes go in a car I own, and sometimes I go in a car I rent. They're church members that are owners and renters. There's a big difference in church members that are owners and renters. Church members that are owners, and I don't mean you own the church. Christ owns the church. He's the head of the church. He bought and paid for the church. But that you take ownership because it becomes your church. Then you become responsible. You're not calling and asking somebody else always to fix anything. You're responsible. You see trash, you pick it up. You see a problem, you pray it through. You need help, you call for it, but you own the family because it's yours. But now a renter is something else. When you rent a car, you ever wash it? No. You rent a car, you ever change the oil in it? No. You ever get the tires rotated while you're renting the car? No. Why? Because you don't own it. You see, an owner has responsibility for maintenance and welfare and health and wholeness. Church members that are owners, they take responsibility for the welfare. Friend, you have to work at making a church whole. Renters come until they either get their feelings hurt or they see something they perceive to be better, and then they go there. But when God calls you to be in a place, you're there as an owner, and the only way you can leave is if God moves you. And that is that the Holy Spirit of God takes you physically from here, or that you have a direct order from the King, not because you got upset. I'm going to tell you, if you get upset here, you're going to get upset there. So you got to learn to work through those issues. And you become an owner, not a renter. I've been a renter. I am an owner. I encourage you to be a part of the church family and to do it now and to take ownership. Ownership. I had a gentleman who visited me. It's the most honest conversation I've had in quite some time. He asked me to come. We had a great visit, prayed over some issues in his life. It was just a great pastoral visit. And this fine young man said to me, he said, you know, Pastor, on the day that we made commitments to relaunch, he said, I just couldn't come. I said, well, why not? He said, because we just got such financial problems. I could not walk forward. I had nothing to pledge. And he said, I just couldn't come and not be a part. He's an owner. He's an owner. Because his heart hurt. What kind of church member are you? Are you a renter or an owner? Now, you don't own it. It's not yours, not mine. The Lord bought the church. But taking responsibility, maybe a better word here than owner, but of being responsible and caring, and I'm all in when I own. Now is the time to live Christ. Now is the time to share Christ. Now is the time to receive Christ. Say, well, Pastor, I'll get to it. The smallest deed is always better than the largest intention. I intend to, won't make it. Now do something about it. The smallest deed, that if you'll take one step, that's better than having great intention. What is it the road to hell's paved with? Yeah, those good intentions. What step is it you need to take today? Is it in that family relationship? Now? How do you need to begin the year? Is it a church relationship? Now? Is it in a family relationship? My wife and I had a little fuss yesterday. Right in the middle of this sermon, we had a little fuss. I said, that's probably not real good to go with. What's that point? Live Christ now, relationships and families. And this doesn't often happen, but I was right. Amen. And you know, even some, I mean, we have what I think is a wonderful relationship. But anytime there's a little fuss, it still is hard to reach over there and say, I'm sorry. See, you can be right and have a stinking attitude. Amen. Smile at me. I know some of you guys. But you see, I knew I couldn't wait till today. Now. To make that right. Some of you are in this room and you know that you're without Christ and you're lost. Your name's on the church roll, but you're lost. You're away from God. You're lost. You know that God's calling you and saying, come. And you need, you say, Pastor, now is the time. Not a greater day in the world. As a matter of fact, there is no other day in the world other than now. Receive Christ now. Be a part of the church now. Make those relationships and character adjustments now. Because today is the day the Lord has made, and He's made it just for you.